Take your holy book. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37 in verse number 15. Ezekiel 37, verse number 15. The Bible said, "The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah, for children of Israel, his companions, and then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companion, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the stick whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes to do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, whether their fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them, yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore." I want to preach just a little while, if God be my help, on a story to be told. A story to be told. Or you might say the Paul Harvey version, the rest of the story. Amen? As we look at this, and Ezekiel's writing to us, and he's laying this thing out here according to the will of God, and he's talking about the nation of Israel, and he's talking about God in the last days, drawing them back into himself and drawing them back. Now we know that now the nation of Israel, it's Ephraim and Judah, and they were separated, and that there's 10 tribes that they say that are missing. 10 tribes, they say they don't know where they're at. They're scattered because of persecution. I say it's into the four winds. But I said God's going to have a time when He's going to gather those dispersed. Praise God, they were dispersed because of persecution, because of sinfulness against God Almighty. So God had to deal with them. But Ezekiel's telling us here, he said that he told him to take two sticks and write Judah on one and Ephraim on the other. He said, then take them in your hand so that the people could see it. He said, and put them together one more time. Ain't you glad God's good at putting things together? Ain't you glad God's good at taking things that are broken and things that are scattered and bringing them together for His glory? Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. What a blessing. So he says, take them and put them together in the sight of the people. And so he does. He tells us in verse number 19, he said, there'd be one in his hand. Praise God. I'm glad that we're one in God's hand tonight. We're people that love God, and God loves us just like He does the nation of Israel. But we see them scattered. We see God draw them up. We see Him making a promise to Ephraim and Judah to reunite them and to bring them together for His glory. Bring them together, the Bible says in verse 21, into one land. Amen. What is that land? That's the promised land. Amen. That's the land that God had promised to the nation of Israel. If you go back in Genesis chapter number 12, verses 1 through 3, He said He called them out. Praise God, where He began to deal personally with a person, with Abram, and He began to send him out. And He said, "Let Abram," He said, "you go out and you be a blessing to these people. And as you bless them, God will be as you're a blessing, God will be a blessing to them, and God will be a blessing to you." Amen. He said, "That's the way it's supposed to be." He said, "But those that curseth you, God will curse." So He said, "It's time that people begin to realize that there is a place, it's a promised land, that land of promise that God give." Amen. Praise God. If you go back and look at that, Genesis chapter 12, He said, "Now the Lord hath said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Amen. So said God, said, I'm going to use you to be a blessing to the families on the earth. And then in Genesis chapter 15, He offers a covenant to Abraham. See, Abraham said, "You know, I don't have no heritage, don't have no lineage, don't have a son, praise God. The only one I have is this Eliezer of Damascus." And God said, "No, that's not it." He said, "There's going to be a seed out of your loins, and that one's going to be the one that I'm going to use to create and make a nation." And He gives Abraham a covenant. In Genesis chapter 15, in verse number 18, He said, "In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram." Amen. I want to say God makes a covenant with you, praise God. It's a true covenant. Amen. It won't be broken because God can't lie. Hello? God cannot lie. Now listen to what He says. He said, "And the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates." Amen. So He said that Abram said, "I'm going to give you the promised land. I'm going to give you from the great river of Egypt, which is the Nile River, to the great river, the river Euphrates. Everything in between it is going to belong to you. Everything in between that is going to be yours." Amen. Praise God. Ain't you glad it's that way? He said, "It's the land of the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadamites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites." Amen. He said, "That's that land of promise that God gave to them." He said, "From the river to the sea." Does that sound familiar? Amen. A bunch of crazy things today is wanting to annihilate Israel. They're wanting to push them out from the river to the sea. What are they saying? They're wanting to get rid of the nation of Israel. But I'm telling you, the nation of Israel is God's timepiece. That clock began to beat. Praise God, again in 1948 when God established the nation of Israel as a nation one more time. After several thousand years, God moved upon the scene and He began to bless His people. And He began to call them unto Himself. And if you go over there today, and people will tell you, they're just flocking in by the thousands. And you ask them, "Why are you coming? Why are you coming back? Why are you coming in? Maybe never been there before. Why are you coming now?" They said, "We don't know. It's just something that's a pulling and a tugging on our soul." Amen. Praise God. God's getting ready for something big. Amen. It's a story to be told, praise the Lord. As you look at this and you see this land, this great mass of land, praise God, that's there today. Now the little corner of land that they have in the little nation of Israel, what they call the nation of Israel, that's nowhere near what God had given to Abraham. Amen. He'd give Abraham from the river to the sea. Praise God. And He said it, if you'll remember what He said, He said it was to Abraham's descendants. Those was the ones that would occupy the land. He said, "Saying unto thy seed have I given this land." He said, Abraham, He said, knew would never live long enough to see it come to the full. But praise God, He said, your seed, praise God, will see God Almighty move and God's hand move, and they'll see God drawing people back into the land. Amen. If you look at the land masses in between these, but in between this section of land that God give it, He said, go draw them into one land, praise God. That's their land. the land that belongs to the nation of Israel. It's God-granted land. It's a covenant that He made with the children of Israel. It covered a land base. It covers from in Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, parts of Saudi Arabia, down into parts of Egypt. That's the promised land. That's the covenant land that God gave to Abraham. Amen. It belongs to them. Praise the Lord. These other people can't give it away. It belongs to the nation of Israel. Praise God. If you look back over Numbers chapter 23, I've been digging through this for last week, just looking and digging. In Numbers chapter 23 and verse number 19, the Bible says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? I want to ask you a question tonight. Can God lie? Amen. Well, if God can't lie, then He made a promise. He made a covenant with Abraham. He said, this is going to be your land. He said, this is what I'm going to give you. Praise God. And since God can't lie, praise God, we ought just assume that land belongs to Israel. Amen. You know, it's a funny thing right now. Israel's controlling the airspace over the nation Israel, over Lebanon, over Syria, over parts of Iraq, Saudi Arabia, plumb into Iran. Amen. It don't take no genius to figure out if you can control the air, praise God, you can control everything underneath. And so that's what God's doing today. We're seeing God Almighty moving on the scene just like He promised He would. Praise God. A little at a time, God said He would begin to give this to the nation of Israel. They'd begin to claim it as their own. Amen. God gave it as an inalienable right to the nation of Israel. Amen. An inalienable right. Does that mean that it can't be taken from you? No. I won't say it does not mean that it can't be taken from you. It means it's inalienable. It's a gift from God. It means that it can't be given away. It can't be sold. It can't be surrendered. It can't be legally signed away, praise God, because God Almighty has given it. Amen. It's not for anybody else to pass on, give up. It belongs to them. So the nation of Israel can't, praise God. Why are they always in a constant battle? Because every time they try to give land for peace, they're going against the covenant of God. Amen. Sometimes you just got to stand up and stand on what you believe. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what they've got to do. It's like the same way, likewise, any nation will try to coordinate with Israel for land, swapping land for peace and all these other things, bring upon themselves the curse of God. We've seen it in America. Every time one of our presidents or one of our ambassadors has tried to swap land for peace, we've been hit with a major catastrophe within just a few days. Amen. We've had to pay the price because of trying to do something that's contrary to the Word of God. But He said God gave those boundaries. God gave that border. God gave that covenant. Right now, the landmass for the nation of Israel, is in the nation, the boundaries of Israel, is less than 10,000 square miles. It's basically 150 miles long and 70 miles wide at the widest point. Amen. Less than 10, probably as a crow flies, less than 7,500 square miles. But I got to figuring today, praise God, if you figure the landmass that God gave to the nation of Israel, it covers almost 640,000 square miles. Amen. Praise God. You could fit the little nation of Israel into that landmass dozens and dozens and dozens of times. Ezekiel said this in Ezekiel chapter 48, verse number 1, that the northern border would go from Hamath, 100 miles north of Damascus, Syria. Amen. 100 miles north of Damascus, Syria. Let me just read that to you. Ezekiel chapter 48, verse number 1. Now these are the names of the tribes from the north end of the coast of the way of Hethlon, as one goeth to Hamath, Hazarain, and the border of Damascus northward to the coast of Hamath, for these are his sides east and west, a portion for Dan. Amen. He said, God said, this is what God has given to them. Amen. Plumb up into Damascus. Plumb up into Syria. He said, that is the land grant that was given to God. I'll show you in a minute. I've got some maps here I want to share with you tonight. Just show you what God's talking to us about here. If you go on over to Ezekiel, you can go through a lot of this. It shows the borders of the different tribes. But if you go to verse number 28, he said, and by the border of Gad, at the south side, southward, the border shall be even from Tamar unto the waters of strife in Kadesh, and to the river toward the great sea. That's the Nile River. Amen. Are you hearing me? From Hamath in Syria, all the way down, praise God, almost to the Nile River. He said, that's the covenant land that God gave to Abram. He said, it belongs to the nation of Israel. Now we know that the land grant, that the promised land, Canaan land, that they crossed into it, the people come up with Joshua when he brought them through. After they had passed away, Abram's gone, and they're going into the land, and Joseph takes them in, Joshua takes them in, and they cross over Jordan right at Jericho. Amen? And it's those lands and those kingdoms right there, the promised land that they went into. They went into to take and try to conquer for God's glory. God said, I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to take care of that for you. Amen. We'll look at that just a minute and a little further along. But he said that southern border was from Tisha, a little over 100 miles from south of Jerusalem. Praise God. God said, that's going to be the borders of the country. And he said, you're going to go in, you're going to possess that land. Amen. It's going to be yours for keeps. Amen? It's going to be theirs. So we see them start coming together, and they start coming in to possess the land. Now, if you'll look over in Joshua chapter 11, in Joshua chapter 11, the Bible says this in verse 23. He says, so Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. And the land rested from war. So we see Joshua goes in and he begins to take those lands that God had promised. He goes in and starts possessing the lands. Amen. Now the problem with Israel today is they haven't possessed the land. They've been afraid to. They've went in and they've taken land, but then they back out and they give it back for peace. And over and over and over they've done this. Amen? But it's time, and it's a funny thing, because I've been studying this for a couple weeks, I guess, in the last couple weeks, Israeli 365 has been talking about how that in the last days we're going to see, and that Israel's got to step up, and we've got to take Samaria, and we've got to take Judah, and we've got to quit giving it back. We're going to have to take the land, and we're going to have to hold on to it. They're going to have to possess it. You can't claim something as yours if you don't possess it. Amen. Just like salvation, praise God. You can't claim it's yours till you possess it. Amen. So we see Joshua in Joshua chapter 13, verse 1 through 6. He said, now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is a land that ye remaineth. All the borders of the Philistines and all Geshurah, from Shihor, which is before Egypt, even unto the borders Ekron northward, which is counted to the Canaanite, five lords of the Philistines, the Gagashites, the Gazites, and the Ashdodites, and the Eskalites, and the Gittites, and the Ekronites, also the Avites, from the south all the land of the Canaanites, and Merah, that is beside the Sidonians, unto Amphek, to the border of the Amorites, and the land of the Gibeonites, and all of Lebanon, toward the sunrise, from Baal-Gad, under Mount Hermon, unto the entering in of Hamath. All the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon unto Mishrath of Maim and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for inheritance as I have commanded thee. So we see God begins to bless and he begins to tell Joshua, he said, you're going to go in. You should not, hey, you possess some of it, but you've not possessed it all. He said, you got to continue to possess the land. You can't quit possessing the land. Amen. Now I want to show you something here. They go in, possess land, but they do it a little at a time. Just a little by little. Joshua chapter number 23, verses 4 and 5. And I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. And I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron. I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. So he's telling us here what took place when they went down there. He said he went down there and he brought them out. And then if you go back to chapter 23 in verses 4 and 5, he said, behold, I have divided to you by lots these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight. And he shall possess it, and you shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. So here's the covenant of God. He said, hey, listen, I'm going to go before you. He said, I brought you out of land. He said, I'm going to take you into the land. I'm going to give you the land to possess it. Amen. He said, it's going to be yours. He goes on in verse number 12 of chapter 23. Joshua 23, he said, else if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you. Know for certain that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you. That's what's happened to Israel. Praise God, they come in, they allowed them, they didn't drive them out, they didn't utterly annihilate them, and they become traps for them. Praise God, and God had to pull back his hand. He didn't drive them out, he didn't run them out, because they sinned against God. He said, they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you. So we see how it plays out, and God begins to break it down for them. He said, you go in and you utterly destroy them, and you get rid of them. But he said, you got to do it a little at a time. He said, you got to be consistent in it. It's kind of like our sanctification today. We get started in this, and we pursue just a little by little for the glory of God. Amen. If you go back in Deuteronomy chapter number 7. Deuteronomy chapter number 7. The Bible says this in verse number 19. He said, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders, and the mighty hand, and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send a hornet among them until they are left, and hide themselves from thee, be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee. Now watch this. Little and little, thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. Now you see what God's telling them here? He said, but the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and thou shalt destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. But he said, you're going to go in. Said, you're going to do a little by little. Said, you're going to go in and take a little at a time, because you can't go in and just utterly destroy all these nations, all these kingdoms that's in there. Because if you do, there's no going to be, no, you don't have enough people to possess the land. And he said, and the very beast that's there will take over. Amen. So you're going to have to do it. God, you're going to have to do it with my help, and we're going to have to do it just a little at a time. And that's the way God works in sanctification, praise God. He comes and saves us, and then he works on us a little at a time, praise God, under the sanctifying power of God to give us the help that we need. But the help comes from him. Amen. Because we're saved and we know it, praise God. We know that little by little He'll help us. He'll sanctify us, praise God. It's a sanctification. It's a continual process. And what He done, He said He'd take a nation of Israel and He'd help them a little at a time. He said, but you got to keep pressing forward. He said, you can't go in and associate with them. He said, you can't give these women to your sons for wives. He said, you got to stay separated. He said, you got to come in a little at a time. So He said it's a slow conquest that they have to do. They have to come in slowly and begin to take the land. Just like Christianity today, we got to slowly keep pressing forward. Got to slowly keep taking the land, taking families one person at a time, encouraging them in the Lord, seeing them saved, praise God, birthed into the family of God, and going to work for Jesus. Amen? Doing a little something for the Lord. So we see them as they begin to move into the land, just slowly, a little at a time. And then the Bible says in Exodus chapter 23, Exodus chapter 23 and verse number 20, He said, behold, I sent an angel before thee to keep thee in the way. Amen. Ain't that a good thing? Amen. A ministering spirit sent forth to minister to those who are called according to His purpose. Angels. And to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Amen. He said, beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, and do all that I speak, then will I be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Amen. God says, I'll come in, I'll begin to do the works, I'll begin to move. If you'll just listen to me, if you'll just listen to the sweet Spirit of God as it's bringing you through, praise the Lord, entering into the promised land, looking at promised land, that land of hope, praise God, into Canaan land, we will go. Amen. He said, I'll take care of your enemies, your adversaries. Amen. I'll get them out of the way. He goes on in verse 29. In Exodus 23, and he says this. He says, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beast of the field multiply against thee. So God said, I'm going to do it a little at a time. Amen. He said, you're just going to be patient. Just keep pressing on a little at a time. Every year, praise God, we're going to go in, and we're going to take a little bit more. Amen. He said, by little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea, watch this, even unto the sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. So there's those boundaries again. God puts them in here again. Can God lie? No. Amen. So God's reiterating those boundaries that He gave, that land that belongs to the nation of Israel, to His people. Amen? Praise God. He goes on in verse 30. He said, little by little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. So he said you're going to increase and you're going to take the land as you go. He didn't say take it and give it back. He said you go in and you take the land and you keep it. Amen? Said that's the inheritance that He's given. Said it's an inheritance from the Lord. He goes on verse 31. He says this, and I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea, even unto the sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto you. He says, what you got to do? You got to go in, you got to drive them out. He says, as you come to them, just get rid of them. He said, just push them out because they're ungodly. He said, they're serving other gods or worshiping other gods or worshiping idols and they're full of adultery. He said, you've got to separate yourself from them. You get in the sanctifying power of God, you got to keep pressing in. You got to keep pressing on. Amen. We see God moving in a mighty way. And He starts bringing them together. Praise God for His glory. I will show you this tonight. The closest that Israel ever got Now this is the land. You can see this map. I'll bring it down here if we can see it. This is the landmass. This is the Nile River. This is Ur of the Chaldees, where Abram come out. He followed the Euphrates up through here to Haran, where he stayed with his father till his father died. And once his father died, then he pressed on into the promised land. This landmass is what God gave to Abraham. He said from the river Egypt, the Nile, to the river Euphrates, and from up here at the very top of Hamath, which is above the Mount Hermon, the highest point in Israel. He said that belongs to Israel. And from the Euphrates to the Mediterranean Sea, that landmass all belongs to Israel. As I was saying a while ago, it takes in Lebanon, Syria, parts of Saudi Arabia. It takes in a part of Egypt. If you square it off, it's a massive amount of land. And that's the land that God said that He gave to Abraham. Now the closest that Israel ever came to moving and possessing that land was during guess whose time? King David. It makes you wonder why the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. When King David come into power, he began to send out his armies, and he began to take that land that God had given them as an inheritance. And David, we can see here in the time of David, David took the land from down here to the river Nile in the edge of Egypt, all the way up through Jerusalem, what we have Jerusalem now, all the way up to Kadesh. Amen. And then when his son, he took it all up to the other side of Jordan, over into the desert, into the wilderness. God allowed David. Amen. Because David is doing what God told him to do. And then Solomon come in, his son, and Solomon extended it out. He said, well, God said that all this is ours, but he said it's supposed to go all the way up to the Euphrates. So Solomon extended the line up, the possession up, all the way to the river Euphrates. So this landmass was all part of what David had during his reign as he was king in Israel and Judah. Amen. So we can see how God, in his David, a man after his own heart, he came in and he possessed the land. And God blessed him. And the Bible said that he had no wars for seasons. Amen. Because God blessed him, he come in and he took his possession. He drove out the inhabitants. Amen. And he took the nation of Israel. He took that promised land that God had promised them. And it goes all the way down to the river Egypt, to the Nile. It goes all the way up to the Euphrates. Ain't that what God said in there? It goes up to Hamath. Hamath is right here, right down below the Euphrates River. He said it goes from there all the way down to the river of Egypt. Amen. That's the landmass. That's what God had given to his man Abraham and to his seed. He said you could enjoy this land. And the Bible tells us here that God's a blessing these people, and He's a preparing them to, amen, and they're going in and taking the land. And that's what they've been talking about for several weeks now. They've been saying, you know what, we're going in and we're going to possess the land. Said once and for all, we're going to possess the land. It's ours. It was given as a gift from God Almighty. And so we're going to go in and possess it. We're not going to get it and give it back, but we're going to go in and get it, and we're going to keep it. He said this in Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 8. He said, when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. And they're talking about that, the bodies in this land. They're just dead bodies. And God begins to bring them back. He's talking about the revival and putting life back in Israel. Amen. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Amen. They're just dead bodies. That's what a nation is without the Spirit of God. It's just dead people. Then said he unto me, verse number 9, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Amen. So he calls out, he prophesies, and he calls for the breath, for the Spirit of God to come upon them. And what takes place? The Bible says that what took place is physical restoration of Israel took place in 1948. Amen. The nation of Israel was reborn. Amen. Praise God. In a day. It became a nation again. A nation that was no nation became a nation again. That was that physical restoration into the land. But he said, we're still looking for a spiritual restoration. A spiritual restoration into the land. In verse number 9 and 10, he says this. He said, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy son of man, and say it to the wind, thus saith the Lord, Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. So this is the nation being restored in 1948, it's come to pass. That physical restoration into the land. But that spiritual restoration, it hasn't happened to them yet. They're still waiting for that spiritual restoration. When is that going to take place? When Messiah comes. Amen. When the Lord Jesus Christ, at the second coming, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God's going to fill them. They're going to look upon the one they pierced, and they're going to realize that this is the Messiah of God. The one that they've been looking for. The one that they missed the first time. Amen. They rejected Him. Amen. But a story to be told. It says an ending to the story. Praise God. And it's not too far down the line. Looking for a soon coming Savior. Who's Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Israel's looking. They're expecting. They said there's thousands and thousands of young Jewish people that are being born again. Believing on the Messiah. The Lord Jesus Christ. And being saved. And they're telling it, they're preaching it, they're magnifying, they're shedding the testimony, sharing the testimony all over the country. Amen. To the saving of souls. Praise God, because God's doing these marvelous works. See, they were separated, they were isolated because of their shepherds. And if you go back Ezekiel 34, it said they had sorry shepherds that were terrible with the flock. They mistreated the flock. They had sick sheep. Sheep that were scattered all over the place. Amen. I said one day that God's servant David, he's going to come and he's going to be the king over them. In verse 24, and they shall have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Amen. They're going to get their head screwed on right and they're going to listen to God. And they said, they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children's children forever. Now watch this. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them and set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God. They shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Amen. That's a story to be told. Praise God. God's going to finish this thing. Praise the Lord. He's going to finish it. And Israel is falling. The nation of Israel is falling in line right now to do their part finally. Amen. We need to pray for them. God help them. Give them boldness. Now they're going to have to go through some terrible tribulation. They're going to have to go through some terrible hardships, amen, before it's all said and done. But God Almighty will not forsake the elect. He's not going to forsake those praying to put their faith and trust in Him. We need to just pray that God and save them by His marvelous grace so that they don't die and go to hell off without God. Amen.